Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thank you very much for joining us on the Daily Program this morning.
Great to be here.
Now, these 10 years' results that we've looked at for NAPLAN have shown national improvement in reading and numeracy, as we mentioned there, but a small decline across the board in writing since 2011. Look, some are putting this down to a decline, you know, this decline down to a sort of change in test format, but should we be concerned? How seriously should we be concerned about these findings?
Well, yes, there's been a lot of commentary about this in the media, with tables that show Australia-wide scores by state, showing this small incline in the decline in the writing scores this year compared to last year, and the slight increase in reading and numeracy across all states. But if we look at statistical significance, compared to the 2016 results, the 2017 data actually shows no statistically significant difference in achievement in any domain or year level at the national level. So that's, and, you know, non-statistical differences can be due to chance. It can be to do with the actual test item difficulty because, of course, you know, NAPLAN is a human creation and the test item difficulty in a domain may not be identical from year to year. But, yeah, it's not a statistically significant result.
Now, this one is quite interesting to me because, quite frankly, you know, I think it indicates some of the issues that people find with standardised testing. This year in NAPLAN, it saw the cohort of Year 9 New South Wales students having to achieve at least a Band 8 out of 10 possible bands in literacy and numeracy in order to qualify for the HSC. Now, results have shown that 68% of these students will have to resit at least one exam before Year 12. These requirements, are they fair?
Oh, definitely not. You know, I think this is dangerous ground here, and it's absolutely vital to guard against unanticipated consequences that do arise from externally imposed testing, and it can disadvantage students who stand to lose the most from the new criteria. Research consistently shows negative impacts on schooling when externally imposed tests are used to make decisions that actually alter the life pathways of students. And the students who miss out most are the disadvantaged students economically and also minority groups.
Now, I must admit, my mother is a primary school teacher. So from, you know, I've heard some sort of personal anecdotes that come out of this one. And I think one of the big problems she personally might have with NAPLAN testing is that it's been noted a lot of teachers and parents are trying to kind of coach or teach the test rather than teach the actual skills. So you've got these kids that are being taught, okay, this is how you answer this particular test, but they're not really grasping the full concepts. Are we seeing something of a criticism there?
Yes, I think that's a great point, Sean. Research also shows that high-stakes testing narrows the curriculum, both the methods and the content of the instruction. So the problem is that in the lead-up to NAPLAN, the curriculum gets narrowed as the schools prepare students for the tested skills at the exclusion of valuable but untested content. So things like creative teaching gets replaced with longer periods of direct instruction, you know, drill and skill, boring test items, worksheets. And it's teaching children what to think, but not how to think. And we've had reports such as the one by the Whitlam Institute in Australia. It's called The Impact of High-Stakes Testing on Schools. And it shows that there are negative consequences of NAPLAN testing, like teaching to the test, which does go on in Australia.
And I just wanted to have a look, outside of New South Wales here, when comparing the NAPLAN results at a state and territory level, it's clear to see the Northern Territory is kind of lagging quite a bit behind the rest of the country. It's been put down, in all fairness, it's been put down to greater socioeconomic disadvantage within the Northern Territory. But what has actually been done to see the Northern Territory come in line with the rest of the country?
I'm really glad you mentioned this because a lot of media commentary about NAPLAN doesn't really focus on where these big gaps exist. And obviously by region, the Northern Territory continues to significantly underperform on all measures when compared to the other states and territories. And I believe that this highlights a historical problem in Australia, in our rural and remote areas, and in the treatment of Australia's Indigenous people, because they're represented in higher proportion in the Northern Territory at around 40% compared to the other Australian states and territories. Most people probably don't remember that in the first Northern Territory government-funded education for remote Indigenous students, that didn't actually occur until 1949, and secondary education only became available in remote areas in the 1980s. This was lauded as forward-thinking. Yet, you know, non-Indigenous students in other states and territories had free access to primary and secondary education right through the entire 20th century. Mm. So I think the data from the Northern Territory points to an issue of educational disparity, a gross educational disparity between our Indigenous and non-Indigenous students, as well as the geolocation. So, and, you know, there are strategies that have been put in place to try to address this issue, but I don't think, you know, we need to do a lot more. It's a little too late, really.
I think that's an excellent point there, Kathy. Just before I let you go, I did want to touch on the fact that we have seen a full decade now. This year marks 10 years of NAPLAN testing. And as I kind of mentioned before, I've heard from personal anecdotes and the like that, you know, questions are raised over the validity of results and the importance of national tests, of these kind of standard tests. How can we actually ensure these results are an accurate representation of students' abilities when these NAPLAN tests that they're taking don't really have an impact on their school results?
Mm. I think what we have to think about is all of life and what is the purpose of education? I mean, why are kids at school? Is it to do well on a test or is it so that they're prepared for real life? So, you know, does NAPLAN have life validity? Does it measure the real world uses of literacy and numeracy? Or does it just measure cognitive skills that are easy to measure? You know, does it tell us about students' ability to apply these skills in, you know, situated workplaces? Does it tell us whether they're going to be able to perform well in higher education, in civic context, in which the skills need to actually be applied? So, you know, these problems with high-stakes testing, such as NAPLAN, were raised in a paper I wrote called Will Large-Scale Tests Raise Literacy Standards in Australian Schools? And I published that in the Australian Journal of Language and Literacy way back in 2008. Mm. So I predicted almost a decade ago that the introduction of NAPLAN wouldn't raise school achievement. And I see that a decade of NAPLAN results has unfortunately proven my predictions to be correct.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us on the program this morning, having a chat with us about this one.
Thank you so much, Sean.